Thank you, Tree. Thank you, Justin, and all of you for being present and participating tonight. It's good to be together on this beautiful day and have this opportunity to come together and worship before the living God. We appreciate the presence of visitors always. We're blessed and have been here in the last little while, the last several weeks. We've had a number of folks come to be with us and visit us, and we're encouraged by that, and we hope that in turn we encourage you with the time together in worship and the time spent together in study from the Word of God, which is what we want to be involved in tonight. I do want to say that it's great to see Norman Sims and the Sims family here. Norman is part of the events. We've had an eventful past week, wasn't sure that Norman would be able to be out, but he's feeling good enough to be out tonight, and that's great. Norman had to have a pacemaker put in, had heart stopped during the sleep test that he was having, had to be brought back, and then had the pacemaker put in, and hopefully he's feeling better, doing better, and will continue to do so. Norman, good to see you and Jesse, the whole group here. Sierra Cobb remains at home, and she's going to need to do that for a few days to get to the place that she needs to be, and she also has to have somebody with her at all times at the present time. But as far as I understand, she's had a good day today and good night last night, able to rest at home. And her mother, Sarah Lee Cross, had asked, and I thought it was a great idea. She asked if it would be possible to put the food needs on meal train. I call it all different things, but I think I got that one right. Meal train, and I thought that was a great idea. And my understanding, at least the last, I had at least to check it just a few minutes ago, my understanding is that they now have food supplied through the middle of our camp week. So that's how well everyone has responded. A number of folks want to be involved, folks not necessarily connected to this congregation, but that know them and from other congregations. And that's part of the reason why that Sarah Lee wanted to do that, is because the home congregation, where Sarah grew up at Allen's, they certainly want to be involved in this and others, and this opens it up to anybody that wants to help, and a lot of contacts in this family, a lot of connections, and so people are involved. We're thankful for that. They just need a little help. They're not, they didn't even ask for it. We're just trying to do it to help out because of Sierra's situation. And as I explained this morning, and I explained it to you again, I mentioned to Andy, and he wanted me to do that. I think you need to understand that if you're not able to help in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to help, because this is an ongoing situation and it's going to take a while. This is a healing process, and it's a slow healing process. And that's the way we want it, because the slow healing process is the right way for it to happen so that we can get her back. And the prognosis is very good in the long term for her to be back to her wanted place, but it's going to take a while to get there. So we're going to help out all along the way. I think Sienna was on that duty this morning to be with Mom, take care of Mom. It's good to see Sienna and the kids here tonight. And I think that's the way it's going to be for a little while. There's going to be some cycling going on to try to help out in that process, and we want to help all along the way. But one thing that everybody here can do, you can't take food presently to them, everybody here can pray, and that's what we need to be doing. Pray for Sierra. That's what she wants, and that's what will help more than anything else, the power of prayer. So be involved in that. And my understanding is, again, that's on that is on Facebook. That's through Facebook. Most of you do that. I don't. I don't apologize for it. Don't intend to start it. But there are some very good features that are there. And that's one of them, where you can be connected with other folks. So that's a new thing that we're trying. And I think it's going to work out very well. And it helps the family just the same. Mentioned this morning, and I have it before you there, the question of what can I do? Oftentimes in the church, we have that question asked. I've had it mentioned several times, many times throughout my life, individuals saying, well, what can I do in the work of the church? And my initial answer to that would be, there's plenty to be done in the work of the church. And we need to understand that and open our eyes to see it. So tonight we're going to address that a little bit. We do it somewhat in a general sense, because there are a lot of things, we can't touch every specific thing to be done in the work of the church. There are a lot of things that need to be addressed from time to time. And so what we try to do is hit in a general way the idea of what it means to serve the Lord. And then you fill in the blanks, because there are places that individually you see that may be needed, help needed, work needed, or whatever, and you can be involved. And so I want to put that before you, and I want you to think about it, and let's put it into action. That's the idea, is to prompt us, to help us to review what we do in the kingdom. You know, sometimes in the church, I've noticed, and I'm a part of this, so I can say from my own experience, it happens to all of us. Sometimes we can lose our way in the work of the Lord. And we've been involved, we've done a lot. A lot of times you've been in the church for a long, long time, and you can just kind of get complacent. And so when we talk about what can I do, hopefully that keeps us from becoming complacent. It makes us think about the things that are there before us to do in the work of the church. And the good life requires us to review consistently who we are and what we are in Christ. Apostle Paul said he kept under himself, kept under his body, brought it into subjection, lest that at any time when he preached to others, he himself would be a castaway. He didn't want to be one who was lost after he'd preached to so many people. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He checked himself. He kept a good idea of where he was in relationship to God and to Christ, and kept himself in subjection to the Word of God. And so lessons like this are designed to help us to evaluate and to reevaluate and make sure that we're doing what we can in service to the Lord. The overall guide for what our topic is tonight that you can look at, and it guides everything related to Christianity, is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. And there, the general statement that is important is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, with everything that we have. That's what that's saying in Matthew 22 and verse 37. We are to love the Lord our God with everything that we've got. And if our heart and our soul is in to the service of the Lord, then a lot of the things that we'll be discussing will just happen naturally. And it should be that way. We ought to be dedicated. We ought to love the Lord with everything we've got, with all of our heart. And as a result of that, then we'll be involved in doing what we can in the work of the church. Love God with all your heart as a Christian. And that should mean that we get into the Word of God. So the very first thing that I would suggest to you is this. We need to be those who are involved in the Word of God. Habakkuk 2 and verse 20, the writer there says, in times of old, he says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." Now, it's like some have said in times past, and I remind you again in this regard that when Habakkuk is writing there, he's not writing and saying, "Tiptoe, tiptoe, little feet," like we sing sometimes in vacation Bible school. That's not it at all. What he's saying is, he's saying, you put the noise of the world out and give the Lord's word a chance to come in. And folks, if there was ever a generation, I wonder if you could raise up Habakkuk today and let him see our generation and the noise that we have going on in this generation, I think he'd be just overwhelmed at the difference between what was happening then. But what was going on in those times with the people of God, they were listening to all the things of the world, and as we might say it here in Middle Tennessee, God couldn't get a word in edgewise. They weren't listening to the words of God. And so Habakkuk said, "The Lord's in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. Let all things be put aside. And you listen to the words of the Lord." We need to get into the word of the Lord. The people of God, of all folks, should be involved in the word of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a verse we often reference, a verse that you know we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can you take God's word and put the pieces together and make it fit? That's what that's all about. You see, that's what you have to do to understand the full will of God. You have to be able to take His word and rightly divide it. You have to take it and make it work, put it together where it fits. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in the words of God there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And the only way to do that is to study. And study is hard work. Study takes time and effort. And we need to be those who give ourselves to it. Do you let God talk to you. Jesus said the thing that sets us apart from the world is the Word of God. God's Word is truth, John 17:17. Do you let it talk to you? Do you let God Himself talk to you? That's, in essence, what you're saying when you talk about His Word. Are you listening? Are you letting God speak to you? Those that you love, you talk to. Those that you love, you listen to. And we understand that in a physical relationship in this world. But you know, in the spiritual relationship, even more so, we ought to let God speak to us. God has the words that we need. His words are truth, and they will guide us. And as you learn to love God, and as you grow in that way, then you're going to grow in love for His Word. That's natural. That's the natural process of things. David said, "How love I thy law is my meditation all the day." Well, Psalm 119:97. When David said that he loved God and he loved to hear His Word, he loved to hear Him speak in that occasion. He loved His Word. He loved His law. He said it's his meditation. What is involved when he says it is my meditation all the day? Well, the term that's generally used and most often used throughout Scripture when it deals with meditation has two parts to it. It has the part of knowing the will of God. It also has understood in it that we put it into practice. And that is contained in what David's saying. He's saying, not only do I love the Word of God, but I take it into my heart, I consider it, I ponder on it, and I act on it. That's what you and I should do. When we say, what can we do in the church? What can I do? Well, one of the very first things that you and I both can do is to get into the Word of God and know it and love it and put it into practice. And when you do that, that draws you closer and closer to the will of God. How can we know the wonderful works of God if we don't know His will? You remember, that's what they said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:11. We're hearing the wonderful works of God. How were they hearing it? They were hearing the words of God. How can you know the wonderful work of God without knowing His Word? And so it's very important for us to do that. And it is through that that we grow in Christ. And so I guess our first point could also be, how do I grow in Christ? Well, you grow in Christ by getting into His Word. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord in Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Before we leave this point, before we leave this part of evaluation, I want to ask you a question. Can you know too much about the Word of God? Can you study too much in the will of God? I don't think anybody here would say that. I sure wouldn't say that. And as one, I'll say that I know and I constantly stay after myself to remind myself that I need to know more of the Word of God and I need to study more. And I would say that everybody in the house would have to say that. You know, I mentioned a few years ago that about 20 years ago when I did this, I had the opportunity to be around, and I've been blessed in my life to be around a lot of great preachers. And it occurred to me that a lot of those great old preachers that I had known and loved were passing away. Life was taking its course, and they were not going to be around very long. And so I made an effort to try, just in a private sense, to interview several that I held in high esteem. And I wanted to talk to them about their work, about their advice, about some observations they could give for living for the Lord. And you know, I don't think there was an exception in all those preachers. And some of those preachers, I'm telling you, they had preached for 50, 60 years. They could quote scripture after scripture. And you know what they said to me? They said, "If I could do it over again, David, I would work even harder to know the Word of God." I said, "You mean you think you could study more?" Every last one of them said, "Yes, I could, and I should." Along with that, that also caught my attention was, not only did they say they could study more, but every one of them said that they ought to pray more. They said, "I wish if I could go back and do it all over again, I would have prayed more than I've ever done before." Because they said, "As I've grown, I've understood the power of prayer." And so look at what these great gospel preachers said. Now, if they say they need to study more, then I know for sure I need to study more. And I know for sure you do. And so, what can I do as a Christian? Well, don't sit around being lazy. There's plenty of study to be done. There's plenty of Word to understand. There's plenty of Word to digest so you can get into the Word. Next, we need to get into the worship of God. God is to be worshiped. God is worthy of worship. And we ought to be those who are given to that. We're his followers. We're those who are the obedient believers that have understood his word and obeyed his will. And we ought to be interested in coming before him on occasions like this. And somebody says real quickly, they say, well, we're here. That's exactly right. And I commend you for that. We're here on Sunday evening. Not everybody returns on Sunday evening in most places. But you're here and you're interested in the word of God. So you say you're preaching to the ones who are doing exactly what you're saying. That's right. Because we need to be reminded of how important it is. The psalmist said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. God Almighty, our Lord, is worthy to be praised. And he will save us, as the psalmist said, from our enemies. The Lord is worthy of praise. And that statement is made by David in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and 4. And in Psalm 18 and 3, both, we are to praise the one who's worthy of it. And that is Almighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given himself for you and for me. You remember David said in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad? Are you happy when it's time to come together and worship? We ought to be that way. Christians ought to be given to an excitement to say, it's time to go to worship. I have the opportunity to go before the Lord. I have an opportunity to be in the presence of the Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who sustains all things. That's a great privilege. And I don't know that we fully understand that. I'm not even sure we can fully understand that. But we have the opportunity to go before God in worship. Jesus said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, John 4 and verse 24. God has a specific design for us. We're to worship in his way, with our spirit engaged, following his truth. We worship the way he tells us to, not the way that we want to, not the way that seems good to us. Yet a lot of folks, a lot of our friends, will tell us that they do what they do in worship because they like it. Well, we should learn to like to worship God. We should learn to love the time of worship before God. But we worship God on his terms. And our spirit is being engaged by his terms in worship. And that's what Jesus was saying in John 4 in verse 24, among many things. To be able to come before God in worship, worthy of praise, call upon him, to look for that time and to be happy that that time has come. It's our time to come together and worship God. That ought to be something that we desire to do. The Bible teaches a principle. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to notice that. You got your Bibles there. You should have your Bibles there. You should have your swords ready at all time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to notice a couple of things with me there real quickly that have to do with coming together. There is a time to come together in worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, the statement is made there mid-verse. It says, when you come together, so we have the notice there of a church, of the church. This is to the church. But if you miss that, the very next verse, notice what it said in verse 18. He says, when you come together in the church. Now, that's not talking about a building. It's talking about the spiritual body. It's talking about when you come together as the church, as the people of God coming together. And then in verse 20, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice please what it said there. When you come together in one place. So here in this one little section, you've got the general sketch of what we talk about when we talk about coming together for the express purpose of worship. We come together, number one. We come together in one place, and we come together as the church. The church assembles. And that's exactly what the Hebrew writer is dealing with in Hebrews 10 and verse 25 when he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but rejoicing in that opportunity, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We see the day approaching, and we regard that day as a great opportunity. And so we rejoice in the opportunity to come together and serve the Lord and go before him in worship. When the church comes together, I need to be there. And when individuals say, what can I do in the church? then my response would be, you can get into the worship and get into it even more than you have. Get your heart and soul fully involved. And when people willfully choose not to assemble, I think that's what Hebrews 10 to verse 26 is dealing with. Those who willfully neglect that opportunity of service, then you stand accountable before God. There remains no more sacrifice for you if you willfully choose to do that. What is that? According to the Hebrew writer, that's sin. When an individual says, I'm just not going to go. I'm not going tonight. I'm not going to in the morning. Whatever that is, when we willfully choose not to go to the worship service of God, that's serious business. We need to be very serious about it. The worship of God is very, very important. When we come together in the church, we teach one another. Colossians 3 and verse 16. And we teach one another because the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, and we have that opportunity to come together and encourage one another in song. We come together and we do things for the edifying. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, the last part of that. Whenever we come together, we make sure that what we do and what we say is for the building up of one another. Let us do all things in the attitude or by the attitude of edifying is what the Apostle Paul says together. As Christians we should be. And notice, that's what it says there in that verse. In verse 26, in the very first of it, says, when you come together, when the church comes together, what should be our interest here, Paul? The interest should be, let all things be done unto edifying. Let all things be done to building up one another. Being together as the church. Being together, as Paul said, in the church. Those times are important for us to be stronger. They're important for us to grow as God would have us to grow. We don't just do this just to have a club meeting. We don't just, you know, there are a lot of civic clubs. There are a lot of activities around town you can be involved. This isn't a club meeting. This is a time of coming together to encourage one another and to be built up in the faith. And we do that one to another when we assemble. And that's clearly taught in this first letter to the church at Corinth. And we've noted a few of those things. And 1 Corinthians 14 carries with it several other things that we could look at. One thing is found in verse 40, when we come together, let all things be done decently and in order. That's why you don't come together and, as some of the folks said in years gone by, we don't come together and act like a bunch of hyenas. We come together and act like Christians. We come together and we act orderly and properly before God. Why? Because we're worshiping Him. And we do things decently and in order. Another thing before I leave the point that I think is very important for you and for me to remember, and that is, like Jesus exemplified for us, the example for us in Luke 4 and verse 16, the Bible says that when He went to the synagogue in Nazareth, His home synagogue, He went home, He went to the synagogue in Nazareth, and the Bible says He stood and read. He was involved. He went back, and not only was He there with the group meeting. See, the church wasn't in existence at that time. That's in the old law. He was under the old covenant. So He's patterning for us what it means to be a follower of God. And when He went to worship with His people in the synagogue, with His family and friends, the Bible says He didn't sit like a knot on a log over in the corner. But as a matter of fact, He got involved. And that's what we ought to do. As we come together in the worship assembly, we ought to be involved to the level that we can be involved. If it means taking a lead as men, then men need to be involved. One of the things that I've appreciated very much about the congregation here through the years is we've had a number of folks willing to be involved. And one of those places, and I've commended you oftentimes, I commend you again, is we've had a number of folks willing to lead the singing. A lot of times congregations struggle with keeping song leaders. We have a number of folks say, I'm ready to help. I'm ready to help sing. Now that's wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to desire to be involved in the worship. And when we come together, we ought to be interested in doing things with the Spirit and the understanding also, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. Again, our spirit, that's not dealing with or addressing the Holy Spirit, that's your spirit. We ought to come together and our heart and mind and soul ought to be fully engaged. That's what it says. Be fully engaged with your spirit, doing that which is right as God has given us to follow do that, put it into practice as we worship Him and as we go before Him. So, what can I do? Well, everybody can get involved in the worship of God. Next, I want to spend just a little bit of time on this one, and the lesson is yours. This is an area of practical examination. This is an area where we put our faith into practice, and that is getting into the work of God. We need to get into the work of God. And we need to do that, like Solomon of old said, with all of our might, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. We ought to be individuals who are dedicated to getting in and being involved and working with all of our might. Whatever it is, whatever is before us in the church, we ought to have the attitude that Solomon said of old, we ought to do it with all of our might. We're doing that as those who serve God. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. John 9 and verse 4. Jesus said there's a limited amount of time. And you know, the longer you live in the world, the more you understand you've got just a very limited amount of time. A very small amount of time to get the job done. And so while it is day, while we have the opportunity to labor in the kingdom, we need to be involved in that. We need to work. And what is the work? Turn to Matthew 25. Jesus will tell you exactly and gives us an exact sketch of some of the things that can be done in the kingdom. I've had a number of questions along this line through the years. People say, well, what can I do? What can be done when you talk about working in the church? Let the Lord talk to you. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 34, the Lord lays out a picture. The picture of those things that and how we will be judged related to what we do. And Jesus says, for I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. What can I do? Well, I can help those individuals who need help and when it comes to hunger, when it comes to feeding them and assisting in that way. I can help those who are thirsty and give them drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in hospitality. The opportunity to attend to the needs of individuals. The opportunity to clothe. Notice what Jesus said in verse 36. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And what does that mean? What does that carry with it? The idea is not just going and saying hello, although that's important. Very important. It's important to check on the sick to let them know that we love them. But what the Lord is saying here is, you attended to my needs when I was sick. What can you do? Somebody says, what can I do in the work of the church? Well, you can attend to the needs of individuals. You can attend to the needs of those who are sick. Do that. In keeping with what is best. Do that in keeping with what is good for the all involved, but do what you can to help. Help the sick is what Jesus said. I was in prison. Oh, there's something. Visiting those who are in prison. And I do believe that part of the understanding here, this is not to eliminate our responsibility to prisoners. There's been a lot of great work that's been done in prisons in carrying the gospel of Christ to prisoners. But I do believe that one of the considerations here is what was coming in the church, and that was when Christians were being persecuted. And Jesus was saying, even when our brothers or sisters are found in prison, we go and take care of them. We're not ashamed of them. We go and attend to them. We go and provide for them. But the principle carried with it is, visit those who are in prison. And so it gets all. But I'm saying, I think there's an understanding there because of what was coming. I believe Jesus was noting that there's a time of imprisonment that is coming to His people, and they need to be ready to attend to them. And they asked and they said, Lord, when do we see you hungry and fed you? When do we see you thirsty and gave you drink? When do we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? When do we see you sick or in prison? And Jesus said, the king answers, verily I say unto you, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. See, there is work to be done, attending to those individuals who need help. In Matthew 25 also, back at the very first part of that chapter, when you go back and you look at verses 14 through 30, you have the reference there to the talents. And we've talked about that in times past. Every one of us are given an amount of talent. We have abilities. God gave it to us. And so when we think about the work that is to be done in the church, then we work with the given abilities that we have. It is not the case that God expects us to do things that we can't do. There are individuals who will say sometimes, well, I can't do this or that. I've had a number of individuals say to me, I'm willing to work, but let me tell you something, I can't preach. Well, I understand that. Not everybody can. Some say, well, I can't lead the singing. I've had a number of those. And here in this congregation, we've had individuals, because of the number of folks who are willing to lead, we've had individuals say, look, I'm willing to do a lot of things, but I'm not one who can lead the singing. All right, no problem there. Not everybody has that ability to lead the singing. So what is the principle here? The principle laid down is work with the talents that are given you. And I've talked about that several times from the pulpit, and I'll remind you again, when you have talents, you ought to put those into use, whatever that is. If someone is an accountant, we shouldn't put them on the building and have them doing something they're not familiar with. Like maybe they've never done carpentry and they're an accountant. Well, let's use their abilities as an accountant. Use that skill set that you have. Now, a builder, let's put him on the building and grounds. Let's put him on the actual physical work that needs to be done. You see, that's putting your talents to work, whatever that is. A song leader, put them to work. Somebody that knows about music, put them to work in leading the singing and teaching others to be able to lead the singing. Those individuals who have the ability to teach, apply that ability to teaching the words of God. Individuals who have the ability to preach, by all means. We never have enough preachers in the world, that's for sure. So you apply those abilities. And here is the thing, that, and you've heard this, and several of these things, like I'm about to say, get worn out. But over the last number of years, I've attended any number of conferences and related to different organizations. And I've heard this, they'd say, we need you to buy in. We need a buy-in. Corporate America has used that for quite some time. A buy-in, that is to be fully convinced, fully behind the work that you're doing. We know in the church, we need to have a full buy-in. We need to be bought in. We need to be completely committed to doing the will of God. And you know what I've found? This happens in all organizations, but I think it happens a little more in the church sometimes than it does in some others. A lot of folks are quite willing to tell you what should be done, but they're not always willing to lift a finger to do it. They can tell you all the things that are needed, but they're not always ready to be involved. Here is a check. You want to know about your work. Somebody says, well, how do I know whether this is a good and worthy work? Or how do I know that what I'm doing is with the right attitude? Ready? Here's your check. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, don't do your alms to be seen of men. All right? Now think about that for just a minute. Don't do your good works to be seen of men. Don't sound the trumpet. Don't do it for attention. Here's the question. What are you willing to do when nobody's looking? What level of service are you willing to be involved in when nobody's paying attention, where there's no attention, nothing to be gained from it? Are you willing to work in those events? Are you willing to work in those times? That might tell you something about attitude. When nobody's looking, when nobody's gonna notice that you've done a good deed, are you willing to do work there? That's the attitude. Jesus said our attitude ought to be to work and not to gain attention from it. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be recognized, that you're not worthy of recognition for things that are done, but if you're working for recognition and recognition only, you're losing your reward. Because it's not about gaining attention, it's about doing the work that's at hand. Here's another check for you. Ready? Are you listening? Are you with me? I noticed you kind of listened on the last one. I want you to listen on this one. What are you willing to do for the Lord? Are you listening? What are you willing to do for the Lord that cuts into your personal time? There's a good check. There's a good question. What are you willing to give up, in other words, out of your personal time? I hear a lot of things said about, well, I've got this to do, that to do. I've got these things I want to be involved in. All right? What are you willing to give up in that group of things that have to do with your personal time in an effort to advance the kingdom of God? When you answer that, I think you've answered a lot about the attitude that Jesus is dealing with when he tells us to be involved, when he tells us to be involved with all of our heart and soul. A third check, a third question for you. Are you willing to do for others what you would desire others to do for you when you're in their same place? There's the golden rule. Whatsoever you would that men would do unto you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the way we say it. Matthew 7, 12, when it comes to service in the church, when it comes to needs and work in the church, are you willing to work to the level that you would expect done for you at any given occasion? There's a good check. There's a good one to look at. And the Lord puts that before us to help us to evaluate, what can I do? What can I do in the work of the Lord? Well, all these things we've talked about and others. Have you helped a helpless individual lately? James 1 verse 27, he says, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What he is describing there is helping those who are helpless. That should be our goal. That should be our first priority. Helping those who really need the help. Sometimes it's quite easy to help our friends. And in the church, we oftentimes have friends that we like to be with. And so when they're in need, boy, we're ready to help them. But an individual that doesn't exactly come up to where we are, or doesn't exactly come up to our level of association, or maybe we're not that knowledgeable of them, we're not so ready to jump out and help them. But folks, it seems to me like when God says that we're to do good to all, and especially those of the household of faith, that means all. That means everybody that we have the opportunity to help, we ought to be helping. You see, I think when we get right down to it, sometimes we may need to check the attitude. There are some folks we find easy to help. How about the ones that are not so easy to help? You got to make a little effort. You got to put a little time in. And you know, that's Christianity. That's exactly what the Lord is teaching. And those sometimes who need the help are not the ones who are always asking for it. Those sometimes who need the help will not always be front and center begging for help. You've got to seek them out. You've got to work to try to help them. But our first priority is to help the helpless. And that ought to be a goal. What can I do? I can help the helpless. And I can have an attitude of helping all at every chance that I get. The more you do in the kingdom of God, the more you do in the Lord's work, the more you're going to be committed. And that's where a lot of folks talk about the buy-in. When people talk about the buy-in, they say, well, the more you do, they get that from the Christian principle. That's where it comes from. The more involved you are in the work of the church, the more you're going to love the church. The more you're going to want to be a part of the church. The more you're going to be interested. The more active that you are. And a lot of times, we rob ourselves of the real love and dedication to the Lord by not doing what we can. So that's why I say to you tonight, these things need to be evaluated. There's an old song that's in some books still. And that song, it says there's room in the kingdom. It's an old Baxter, the Stamps Baxter group put out a lot of hymns that are written. And this song was written by J.R. Baxter Jr. It says there's room in the kingdom. There's a place in the service. There's work that we all can do. And folks, I want to tell you, there's plenty of work to be done. It's not a matter of whether there's work to be done. There's plenty to be done. And when you ask the question, what should I do as a Christian? The answer is, do what you can, and that'll be enough. Do what's available to you to do. And when you do that to a sufficient amount of work, then you have done enough. There's room in the kingdom tonight. I want you to know that. There's plenty of work to be done. And the reason for the lesson is this. We've come out of a year where we haven't really known what we could do. We've come out of a time where lethargy has kind of set in because we've just kind of been parked for a year. And I hope that something said tonight will encourage you and encourage me to get up, to take the effort that's involved and be involved in the work of the church. It's time to get busy. It's time to get active. It's time to be a part of the Lord's family and work. And so prayerfully, the lesson will encourage all of us to do better in the work of the kingdom of God. It's a great kingdom. The greatest work you can be involved in, and it comes with the greatest rewards, because at the end of life, God's judgment will determine our place in heaven itself. How much better can you get than that? So I want to be ready to go, and I want you to be ready to go as well. That involves our dedication to the Lord. Tonight, are you dedicated to Him? I hope the answer is yes. Can you do more? I know what that answer is. Everybody here could say yes. So let's do that. But it may be that someone says, I need the prayers of the church. I haven't been involved like I should, and I need to repent, change my direction. If you need to do that, we're here to pray with you and for you. If you need prayer in any other way, we're ready to help in that regard. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ, always ready for that. The door is always open. The baptistry is always ready. We're ready to baptize you into Christ, ready to see you obey the gospel and live the greatest life you can live in this world. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come while we stand, while we sing.